You're listening to KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein. In Latin culture, that little extra roll of belly fat that many of us have is known as the panza. But in the Panza Monologues, co-creator Virginia Grice says the meaning goes far beyond the physical. She explores themes of humor, spirituality, and justice.
We were in San Antonio, and San Antonio at that point was the third largest city in the nation. And we mean that in terms of size, right? So we were ranked as the third most obese city in the nation. And both of us were doing activism work at a cultural center. And one of the things that we realized in looking at ourselves and looking around the table is we kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And really the kind of conversations about the panza that happened around our organizing table became the basis for the work. And so we're Eve Ensler, in the Vagina Monologues, looks at a sort of large range of women and does these interviews kind of across the nation. One of the things that we asked ourselves is, what if we just looked at the women that were around our table? And we asked people to share stories. We shared our own stories. And so the stories that are inside of the text range from issues such as abortion to labor organizing to cultural differences, like what it means to go from San Antonio to Cuba, for example, and how people perceive body image and those types of things. And so at once it is a sort of reclamation of the body and being panza positive and feeling good about you, who you are. And at the same time, it's also a critique of what allows for certain conditions to exist. So why is diabetes a growing epidemic in the Latino community? You know, when I moved to San Antonio, I was a size 9. The largest I was in San Antonio in a period of 3 years was a size 24. And I really do believe that that has to do with access to food and who has the right to, you know, fresh vegetables and all of those types of questions.
So there are a lot of socioeconomic questions you're trying to address too, then.
Absolutely. You know, one of the pieces in the play is called the panza is political panza. And that's one of our premises, is that the panza is political. And so if we begin to really look at how legislation and how neighborhoods, the ways in which neighborhoods are segregated or not, how that affects our physical bodies, right, you begin to see just how political the panza is.
Do women have their own body image challenges or issues without even the involvement of men at all?
I think that they do, you know, and when you think about the panza, what's interesting about it, though, is that everybody has a panza, right? So whether you're flaca, whether you're skinny, whether you're male, whether you're female, whether you're transgendered, everybody's got a panza. And so because we looked at the people, you know, again, that were around our table, we were really looking at a sort of multi-generational group of Chicanas, Tejanas, and Mexicanas. And so in so many ways, it's very, very culturally specific to the women that we broke bread with on a daily basis for a number of years. We really are telling our stories. And the hope is that in telling our stories and the specificity of our stories, then people can make those connections. And so whether it's the man sitting in the audience or whether it's, you know, the skinny girl sitting in the audience or whoever else can begin to look at what were, at that moment, what were the most pressing issues for us? And in some cases, what were the more pressing issues? There's also moments that are really funny. And so, like, there's a piece that's called Panza Pliers that was written by Maria Salazar, which is about how do you get your jeans up when they don't quite fit, right? And so that's right next to the piece, you know, about labor organizing. And so it really is looking at the multifacetedness of women when they look at their bodies. They're not just talking about, and in fact, we actually don't have a single piece that addresses how other people are portraying us. But it's actually how we are portraying ourselves. And when you open up the space for us to tell our own stories, what are the stories that come to the forefront? And so that was actually, and even in just saying that, I just realized, wow, every single story is sort of from our perspective as opposed to how other people are portraying or looking at us.
You have a new edition of the Panza Monologues, which is, this is what, about a decade later?
Yes.
In the decade, what have you learned, whether it relates to the panza, whether it relates to yourself as an artist, as a performer? How much have you grown in that decade?
Well, it's really interesting to write a book 10 years later. because you do learn that there's all sorts of things that have happened. And so when we set out to do that initial performance at Mox, we never thought that 10 years from now we'd still be talking about our panzas. And so it's amazing how relevant the stories still are. But there's also, you know, as we started going back, one of the things that we also were surprised about is that we never expected for other people to pick up the stories and to pick up the play and to start performing them. And that's one of the things that's really happening now, is that especially a lot of college-age students across the country are beginning to do the panza monologues. And that was not something that we had foreseen.
Virginia Grice is co-creator of the panza monologues. Virginia, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Perhaps if our government instituted panza positive policies, we might have world peace. Because we can see our humanity by the well-being of all our panzas. So don't be afraid of what we have to do, because we are the panza. And to claim the panza is to be free.
You can hear more of Virginia Grice reading from the panza monologues tonight at 7 at the Herberger Theater Center in downtown Phoenix.